You're listening to episode 12 of the Book Thingo podcast, featuring lively discussions about romance books, culture, and porn. This episode, titled We Need Words to Be Stimulated, features Book Thingo bloggers talking about the 2016 Sydney Writers Festival, and it was recorded on June 4, 2016 in Sydney. Book Thingo would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which this episode was recorded, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We also acknowledge the contributions of Aboriginal Australians to our shared literary heritage.
Welcome to the Book Thingo podcast, talking about books we love, especially romance. Kill a fairy fast on the Book Thingo podcast.
Welcome back to the Book Thingo podcast. I'm Kat Mayo from bookthingo.com.au, an Aussie blog for romance readers. Before I introduce the topic for this episode, I have some super exciting news that I forgot to share with you last month. If you've been keeping track, we're now releasing a new podcast episode every fortnight. That means more podcasts. So if you're checking for new episodes via the blog, make sure you come back every couple of weeks. Or if you want the episodes to come to you, you can subscribe via iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. We have so many authors and romance advocates lined up for you, and I can't wait to share those interviews. Today, though, I'm once again joined by Rudy and Gabby. If you live in Sydney, you would know that the Sydney Writers Festival has just finished. And so we thought it would be really interesting to have a discussion about how romance was represented in the festival. You can find more information on the books we talk about in this episode by going to bookthingo.com.au/podcast and clicking on episode number 12. The audio for this podcast was produced by Rudy Bremer. So, Rudy, you're actually the only person here who went to the Sydney Writers Festival.
Listen, I was going to, but we'll
I was
talk
overseas,
about that later.
So yeah, I had a legit reason.
Rudy, what was it like?
Oh, I'm really not sure that it was worth it. So, they had one romance panel, and I'm using that term so loosely. As in, if you actually went onto the website and you looked for the schedule, and you were searching by genre and you chose romance, one panel came up. It didn't have any actual romance genre authors on it. It was literary authors who write sex scenes, I guess.
But who apparently really are romance advocates, right?
Yes.
That's what they said?
That's what they said.
Yeah.
I don't know. I went in disillusioned. I came out feeling
even worse.
Like, is it better or worse that they tried to pretend there was romance and it wasn't really romance?
Well, that's what they did 2 years ago. Yeah. That's when we got pissed off. That's when we got pissed off the first time when they said it was romance and it had the same author on it who is defining, who is, just because you have some sort of romantic element doesn't mean you should be talking on behalf of romance.
And I think the hardest part for me was that it felt like a bait and switch, because like even as I was lining up, for one, there was a huge line of people and I'm not entirely sure that everybody was able to fit in the room. So they might have actually been broadcasting out onto the wharf as well, like out on the pier. And they did that for a couple of the panels when they realized that the demand was higher than the actual capacity of the room. So that kind of shows that there's an interest there. But yeah, they're still not catering for it. And then also whether that interest is actually people who are genuinely informed, because like people like Gabby who actually want to hear from romance authors aren't going to bother going to a panel
exactly
at Sydney Writers Fest, because it's still not actually catering to us. Mm. It's catering to people who read and are still not entirely convinced about romance.
Like, how hard is it to add one romance author in a panel at Sydney Writers? Like, it can't really be that
hard.
But
isn't that the bare minimum? Aren't we setting our expectations too low? But then I guess we've been having this conversation for, sorry, I said 2 years, I meant 3 years.
Mm.
3 years we've been having this conversation. Do we keep talking about it? Do we keep fighting for romance to be included? Or do we say, fuck it, that space is not for us, we are ditching it,
No, I'm going to whinge about it every year.
I do want to keep fighting for it, just because, like, I am interested in so many different like types of books and types of writing, and I wanted to be involved in Sydney Writers. I feel like, okay, so the entire program has been written to cut me out in every possible way.
Oh, specifically, Rudy. They were like, we don't want Rudy here, so we're going to put all of this together to say, F you, Rudy, you don't belong here.
Look, they did, okay? Yes.
I love that.
It's like, it's in every possible way designed to cut me out. All I wanted to do was I wanted to go to some Indigenous panels. I wanted to go to some romance panels. I wanted to go to stuff that would be on the weekend and would be free. Didn't have the money to pay to go and see Jonathan Franzen. You guys, did you know that he was the key?
Yeah, I knew, but... I don't know.
You should see the looks on our face.
Like, we're just...
No. Because this is a man who has said in the past how much disdain he has for writing festivals.
So why the fuck?
And he headlined.
What the hell?
Well, I mean, I give that a pass because I know that they need their headliners to earn enough money to justify a festival and so that they can say that it's a success. But having those headliners there, it should mean that they should be able to get some of the mid-list authors from Australia to actually talk about their books. Because if we're talking about Sydney Writers helping, providing some sort of help in terms of the health of the industry, and that's so topical at the moment with the Productivity Commission reviewing parallel importation and copyrights, then I would expect a bit more support for mid-list authors, not just in literary fiction, but across the board in other genres.
But that was the thing. Like, I wanted to be able to go to, like, a prominent author, even if it's an Australian prominent author. I feel like I'm making this weird qualification there, because if they're not as...
We don't seem to view our authors as relevant or as kind of crowd-drawing as foreign authors.
That's not illogical, because a local author is more accessible to the local audience. Mm-hmm. So when you have a writers' festival that's got an international author, if you're a fan of them, you'd go because it might be the only opportunity you'll see them.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's not illogical that they would draw more, of course, because they're only here one time.
Are we just taking our Australian authors for granted then and just being like, oh, because we have them here whenever they want? Sydney Writers Festival should be a really strong platform for local authors.
But even those, like, okay, so I'll use Stan Grant's talk, for instance. Like, I really wanted to go and see Stan Grant talk. I think that he's fantastic and he has some really interesting things to say. You had to pay.
How much?
Look, not much. But for someone who definitely didn't have a budget to accommodate to pay at that point, like...
Did he have no non-paying panels?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's non-paying. Disappointing.
That's, like, when
you think
about...
Because normally you'd have some free, some paid.
Yeah. This is a man who is, like, an Aboriginal writer who is currently advocating on behalf of Aboriginal people in so many different areas, and how many Aboriginal people would have actually paid to go and see him talk?
That's making him completely inaccessible to
people. And that was one of the things, like, I wanted to go and see. So, like, basically I could have gone and seen free events if I went to the outer suburbs of Sydney. And I'm so glad that they are actually providing programming for the surrounding suburbs of Sydney, like places like Parramatta and Campbelltown. Like, it's really fantastic. But don't just think that that's it and you can finish there. When they did things in Sydney, it was in the middle of the day on a weekday. So I would have had to have actually left work. And, like, as much as I joke about extravagant lunches, I'm not sure that disappearing for 3 hours is going
to work. The location of the festival is not easy to get to, even if you work in the city.
How
it's actually out of the way.
How do you even get there? I've been there. I've been there twice or three times, but I just feel like, yes, it is so out of the way. I don't know. I guess, does it sound like we're whinging too much, though? Oh, it's so far away. Oh, we have to pay to go to events.
No,
oh.
Because if you look at Melbourne, their events are in the middle of the city. It's right next to the train station. Well, a lot of them. I mean, not all events. Did I just say not all events? Anyway.
Hashtag not all festivals. Yeah.
Not all
but
festivals.
The main...
But for real, not all
most
festivals.
Most of the events are somewhere accessible by foot or by train or by tram. So you could just duck out on your lunch break and catch whatever was happening for that hour that you can take off.
Melbourne just does shit better, which I hate admitting as a Sydney site.
Well, they are the city of literature, right? Mm, to some extent, yeah. They have a mandate to do it better than Sydney. But, I mean, I feel like Sydney should at least improve every year. They haven't improved with romance. They've actually gone backwards because they had that one year where they had Jodie and Kate and a couple of authors on a panel. And they keep telling us, you know, if your panel isn't doesn't have enough people attending, then we can't run it again. But that session was full.
But they've also reached out to us. They've reached out to us and said, help us make Sydney Festival a more
yeah,
inclusive
place. Yeah,
that's
because we whinged a lot.
Right? No, we did whinge because this is, again, the same dialogue that we've been having for 3 years. We whinged a lot. We kicked up a storm. They reached
out
to us.
Well, I really appreciated that. But then I was so, so disappointed by the zero outcome. Like, I feel like I've just wasted my time. Like, what's the point of asking me if nothing was going to happen anyway?
Yeah. So who would actually have been your ideal panel? Like, who would have brought you?
Well, Siespa Cat was unavailable for Sydney writers. She's overseas in New York and London and, I don't know, doing fun stuff, obviously. But, and even Siespa Cat, she doesn't sit exactly in romance. I mean, that's part of her appeal in a festival because she can talk in a romance panel, in a fantasy panel, in a diversity panel, in a fandom panel, and sort of writing craft panel. But she wouldn't be an author that you would call a romance author per se. So even she would be a compromise, I think. A really great compromise. Like, I would go to any panel that she was on.
I consider her a romance author. I know her books straddle that line, and I do tend to not classify books, like, in series like that. But to me, it's for sure she writes romance with strong fantasy elements.
So who else would you put in a panel?
I would say Anna Cowan, and she's...
Yeah, that's true. She needs to write another book, though.
Not writing at the moment, which sucks because Untamed was so amazing.
But even when her book came out, was she ever on a panel?
No.
So even when our romance authors break genre conventions, even when they write really good stuff, you don't see them in the panels.
So what do we do? Where do we go from here? Do we just sit here and lament the fact that we're doomed to never being included in a Sydney
Writers
Festival?
Well, you know, in past years we've talked about having like an unconference for romance.
Oh, yes.
We can think about that next year. It's just a lot of planning and it requires people to be in one place at the same time.
Well, yeah, like on that level it's a lot of planning. But also I just kind of want to have like a huge book club day. Just turn up to a place and be like,
just mingle, talk, like a
that,
mini.
There was one year we had the readathon. Remember, we went up to Pyrmont Bridge and everyone just brought a book and
what
just
was
read.
That called a mob flash mob.
Oh, yeah, reading flash mob.
Reading, yeah,
we read very mob like. But anyway,
no, you were so peaceful. You were sitting there. I think I was in the city that day.
But well, the other problem with having organizing something separate and outside of the festival is then you'll never get into the festival if you're always organizing outside of it. And if we think we deserve to be in the festival and we deserve to be represented in the festival, then we need to be in the festival. We should. Do they still have the reading couches next to the, the festival usually has a bookshop that they're affiliated with and they'll have like a reading area.
No.
We should flash mob there.
That was
like
not
a sit-in.
Thing.
We should actually do a romance sit-in.
If it wasn't, I did not notice any kind of reading couch situation at all. Just a very claustrophobic bookshop, pop-up bookshop.
Who was a sponsor this year? Was it Better Read Than Dead or Glee Books?
Glee Books.
Is usually the one.
I was going to say I have no
They've
idea.
They've sold one romance that
well,
I
they
know
don't.
Of.
They specifically don't sell romance.
No, they sold Candy Shepherd's first book. Because she
was
lives.
An accident? Was that?
Well,
because they didn't realize.
This is awesome. I think she lives up in the mountains, in the Blue Mountains, and Glee Books has a branch there. So she told her friends, if you want to get my book, you need to order it from the bookshop. So obviously she has a lot of friends. They started ordering from the bookshop. And so they started stocking it because there was a demand for it. And so I saw it in the Glee branch.
How many
that's
times
why I bought it.
Have I gone into that bookstore and looked for something? And I just stopped. I think when it was my first year of uni and I went up and discovered that bookstore and it was so beautiful. And then they were like, we don't sell romance. And I started crying.
Oh.
In the bookstore. Not really. No. Emotionally.
You should have.
Yeah, I should have. A crying sit-in.
Did you go to any other panels that were of interest?
Can she talk about the panel that she did go to?
Oh, yeah.
We didn't actually get to that.
Oh, God. Okay, no. What do you want to know?
Well,
so what was it about and who was in it? Okay, just what was it about then?
It was, essentially, it was about literature and people who write sex and romance in their literary books. There were a few things that did actually make me think. One thing that, like, I'm never going... I just found fascinating, and I wanted to kind of stand up and be like, okay, guys, stop, because this is something that you need to dig into. Yeah. John Purcell was talking about how when it was finally revealed, or he was unmasked...
Because he wrote an erotic series under a female pseudonym.
Yeah. When it was finally revealed that he's actually, you know, a man, I think Kate Forsyth, who was the moderator, had been like, oh, you know, were women angry, disappointed about this? And he was like, well, no, not really. But a lot of men online were. And I was like, really? Is this a... I don't know if he's joking or not, or if there really is like a huge number of men who proposition female erotica authors online just because they feel entitled to do that because they're women who write about sex. Like, I wanted to stop everything and be like, no, dude, please explain this. Are you joking? Because if you're joking, like, that's kind of a fucked joke to make. But if you're not joking, can we talk about this for a second? Like... How often does this happen? And I feel really naive as I say it.
Around authors who write explicit novels and the kind of crap that they sometimes have to deal
with. Like, I know
the questions.
I know that you'd get that in life. Like, I know, like, if you tell somebody that this is what you write, or maybe if you're sitting on a panel and you're going to cop, like, stupid questions consistently. But, like, how often are dudes propositioning?
No, but remember we at the convention we went to when there was that one creepy man who would say inappropriate things to the authors.
What?
Oh, but that wasn't to proposition.
But still,
that was that was a dude who thought that he knew better, and he was definitely trying to explain writing romance to some pretty like significant romance authors. Like, to the point where, including, yeah, he definitely tried to, like, tell Victoria Dahl about writing romance.
Gosh, she was patient with him.
Bless her cotton socks.
If he tried that on Twitter, the outcome would not have been
completely
different.
She would steal
his penis.
Yeah. That's my favourite, but the most disturbing thing I've ever seen.
I can't use that as an iTunes title. Oh, she would steal his penis.
So horrible.
But that's the other thing. You have a panel that talks about sex and literature and zero romance authors.
That makes no sense. But see, this is the thing. They have such a strict definition of literature that romance does not fall into it. Like, romance is basically like magazines to these people. They don't consider these books.
But what I found fascinating was that some of the author questions were really, like, it was very clear that they were people who were conflating that panel with the romance genre. Like, they were linking the two in their mind, because, like, straight up the first question was about 50 Shades. The second question, I think, was about, like, author snobbery or genre snobbery around the romance genre. And that, like, I didn't feel particularly satisfied with the answers that were given, and I just can't even be bothered with it anymore. But, like, and then there was another question about, like, trends in porn reflecting in the way that we write and talk about sex. That was an audience question.
No, but yeah. I think that's actually
I thought it was fascinating. And it was sadly...
So it's an audience question.
That was an audience question.
I wonder who asked that. That's a good question.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Like, this very lovely little old dude.
Oh, amazing.
With what I think was a Russian accent, but I might be off on that. But I feel like the panel completely missed the point of his question. And what they kind of all rolled through was, well, because women don't watch porn, they read books.
Seriously.
Were you aware of that? That's a thing.
Someone forgot to tell me that rule.
God. That's probably
also, why would you not watch porn? If you grow up and people keep telling you guys are obsessed with this thing, why would you not go and see what everyone's obsessed over?
No, because listen, women actually don't find that sexy. Didn't you know?
This
women
is exactly
don't
the panel.
Like watching people kiss or have sex because that's gross to women.
We're of a higher mind, and we need to read it. We need the words.
Yeah. No, like, listen, obviously words are really great, but that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And fuck that guy. Fuck that guy for prescribing some high-minded...
Oh, no, this was the entire panel. This is five people. So
the guy asked
the guy asked
question,
this fantastic
and then
question.
And the panel just didn't answer.
And the
them.
Panel missed the point.
No, the women on the panel also missed... The women on the panel?
Yeah.
Said that women don't watch porn? Women on the panel.
It was, it was all a little bit, like... Like, giggly and sort of a little bit, like, red cheeks and like, oh, I don't watch porn, so I wouldn't know. Women don't watch porn.
When are we going to get past this? See, this is the thing. Like, when you conflate sex and literature and romance all together, all you're really concerned about is the sex aspect of it, right? So that's what the panel was talking about. Yeah. They were talking about sex in books, right? And they just left out romance as a genre.
Pretty much.
Which... leaves out this entire part of the discussion. And that is, to me, that's lazy. That's lazy festival planning because you can't talk about books and purely just talk about sex. Like, sex panels, obviously going to be really interesting, really fascinating to talk about, really relevant, but don't have the one romance panel purely, like, focused on that element. It's outrageous.
But also, like, if you're going to be on a panel like this, if you've been invited onto a panel because you write about sex and you write quite, like, risque kind of sex scenes and you are uncomfortable discussing porn as well, like, I really question that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know whether it sort of feels immature that you can't even just sit down and be like, I don't know, like, these are the trends in porn, or I've not really noticed any particular trends in porn that have influenced the way that I write, whatever. Like, but actually give this guy who's turned up to, like, the panel.
I mean, I always find it frustrating when authors resort to cliches when answering questions. So that whole thing about women don't read porn, that's basically something they've heard from somewhere else. Like, it's something that people... like to say.
Not everyone watches porn.
No one even knows if it's true.
Yeah, but not everyone watches porn, which means that their experience could be true for them. What they're saying is true for them. But to make assumptions, and that, I guess that's what you're saying, to make assumptions about every single woman, that, again, laziness.
I don't know what else to... Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. Like, and that was one of the last questions. Or no, the very, very last question had something to do with somebody's carpenter really enjoys reading romance and he's a big burly bloke and isn't that funny, and I was like, all right, let's just leave discussions.
Like, more power to that guy, but there are a lot of people like him who don't fit that stereotype of a romance reader, because romance readers are not all middle-aged women.
That's all we have time for in this episode. Huge thanks and all the spoons in the world to Rudy Bremer, our amazing audio producer. If you'd like more information on the books and articles mentioned in this episode, go to bookthingo.com.au/podcast and click on episode 12. You can also visit the blog to check out reviews and opinions from a bunch of Aussie readers, including Rudy, Gabby and me. Feel free to email us at podcast@bookthingo.com.au with your feedback, or send a tweet to @bookthingo, or leave us a rating on iTunes. We've received some great feedback in the last few months, so thank you. Justine LaBalestia tweeted, "If you're a romance geek, you really need to follow Book Thingo, and her podcast is amazing. 5 stars to the latest one." That tweet refers to episode 7 featuring Lisa Fletcher, who is a professor at the University of Tasmania. Jen Graybeal left a comment on the blog to say, "I love your podcasts. I just listened to all of them this week and can't wait for more. I particularly, how hard is that word? Okay. I particularly love this one. Your speech was fantastic." That comment refers to episode 8, which is a recording of my speech at this year's ARA Awards. And Leah from Leah's Bookish Obsession, whom we mentioned in our RT Convention recap in episode 10, tweeted a short video clip in response. Here's what she said.
Hey, guys, I listen to the podcast. You guys are so adorable. I miss you guys.
Hey.
That's my husband. That's my husband.
I am he.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you to Justine, Jen, and Leah for listening to the show and taking time out to give us some feedback. Make sure you check back in a couple of weeks for the next episode. Until then, I hope you have a fabulous fortnight of reading.